start your day to remanch the Chof Aleph Nissen Tov Nei Vav, Rav Yishuah Yaakov Katz.
We start. What time do we have to finish?
10:00-ish, just after 10.
Thank you everybody for coming this morning. I'd like to begin by wishing everybody a Guten Sommer. It's in Manchester, that's a very big bracha. How does one know in Manchester when it's summer, the rain gets a little bit warmer? It's usual to begin a drosha with a milsa b'dichusa. I was, before Yom Tov, I went to Matalan to renew my Shabbos tie, and I was very impressed that the Ruach of Pesach was already prevalent even in Matalan, and I was waiting in the queue, and the electronic thing said, Kasher number one, please, Kasher number two, please. I'd like to begin with a vort which I heard from Rabbi Chaim Kaufman, Zeichet Sad Livrocha, which is actually relevant to today, Isru Chag Pesach. On Shvi Shel Pesach, the last days of Pesach, we went through the Yamsuf, and today is the first day that we're through the Yamsuf, so to speak. And he said a vort which I think is applicable mamish to today. So in his zuchus, I'd like to share this Devar Torah with you. The Pasuk says, before Kriyas Yamsuf, that the Klal Yisrael came to the Yamsuf, Vayavo b'nei Yisrael b'soich hayam b'yabosho, in Yud Dalet Kaf Beis, Vayavo b'nei Yisrael b'soich hayam b'yabosho, they went into the sea onto dry land, and v'amayim lehem choyma miminom mismoylam. So the first Pasuk says that they went into the Yam b'yabosho. First it says Yam, then it says Yabosha. In Pasuk Kaftes, it says, Uvnei Yisrael holchu b'yabosha b'sochayam. Later on it says, they went into the dry land, into the sea, turns it round. So Reb Chaim Kaufman brings the Vilna Gaon, who explains that the Yam b'yabosha is referring to Nashon ben Aminodov. He jumped into the sea, and he jumped into the Yam, b'yabosho, and in his zechus it turned into dry land, the sea split. And then later on in the Pasuk Kaftes, b'nei Yisrael holchu b'yabosho b'soch hayam. They walked into the dry land in the sea. In his zechus it had already been split. The problem is that at the end of Oz Yoshir, before Shiras, the Shira of Miriam, in Tes Vav Yud Tes, The Pasuk says, "Uvnei Yisrael holchu b'yabosha b'soch hayam." Again, Vatikach Miriam. So again, it repeats the second, the b'nei Yisrael holchu b'yabosha b'soch hayam. And the question is, what is this third pasuk? What's it coming to add? We've already had Yam b'yabosha, and we've had Yabosha b'soch hayam, and now it's repeating Yabosha b'soch hayam. So Reb Chaim Kaufman answered very beautifully. He said I think it might be his own chiddush. He says that in his view, this pasuk is not referring to Kriyas Yamsuf anymore. It's referring to every day since then. It's referring to nowadays too, that when Klal Yisrael went through the Yam and they saw the unbelievable Hashkocha Protis, that the Ribbono Shel Olam, he did such an amazing miracle to split something which is normally indivisible, and it now the water split and it became Yabosha. And therefore it made them realize afterwards, whenever you walk on dry land, it's not dry land anymore. It's Yabosha b'soch hayam. It takes you right back to Masa Bereshis. The pasuk says, "Vayom Elokim yikovu hamayim mitachas hashemayim el mokoy mechod v'seiro ehayabosha." The world was originally covered with water. There was no dry land in this world. And the Ribbono Shel Olam made it tzivui that the water should be gathered together into one place, v'seiro'eh hayabosha, that the land could be seen. And therefore, wherever you walk on dry land, it's not stam dry land. It's not yabosha, it's yabosha b'soch hayam. When you look, take a globe and look at the world, you'll see that most of the world is covered with water. So what is it which defines the various land masses? It's mamash, the tzivah Hashem, that the waves can go so far, and then it can't go any further. So wherever we stand on dry land, the Klal Yisrael said, we're now not on yabosha, we're yabosha. Wherever we are, it's Kriyas Yam Suf, because Hashem has split the water for us to live on, that we can, every country, every piece of dry land. And that's why Chazal instituted a bracha, Roikah Aras Olamayim. When you wake up in the morning and you put your foot down on dry land, that's the Roikah Aras Olamayim, unless of course you stand in the Negel Vasa. But assuming that you hit the dry land first, then you should make the bracha But therefore, this, says Rabbi Kaufman, from now we have a great appreciation of the Gadlus HaBoreh, that the waters are now gathered into one place, and we are now, wherever we walk, it's Yabosha B'Soich Hayam, it's not Stam Yabosha. So that is applicable to from Isruchag onwards, and therefore that's the vote for today. So that's just by way of introduction. So the main theme that I'd like to speak about, we're now in the days of Sfira, we're looking forward to Kabbalah HaTorah, and we're looking for ways to increase our appreciation of Torah, and hopefully the few words we'll say this morning is in that theme. So although we're going to be quoting mainly from Alex, by way of introduction, somebody once said, there was once a Maggid. He only had one drosha. He only had a Devar Torah on Pashas Koirach. And so, but he used to go around. So how can you introduce Pashas Koirach in any other Sedra? So let's say it's near to Purim and it's Megillas Esther. You understand? And you've only got a Devar Torah on Pashas Koirach. What are you going to do? So he used to drop a hanky. A tissue. Nobody knows what hankies are anymore. He dropped a tissue on the floor. He says, oh, my tissue fell down. And that reminds me, Koirach fell down. And he gave a whole drosh on Parshas Koirach. But what happens if you want to say something on Megillas Esther? What are you going to do then? This is what somebody once said. He said, I've got no idea. But since I've mentioned Megillas Esther, I'll tell you the Vatayr on Megillas Esther. So in that spirit, I would like to introduce my topic for today. So in Pirkei Avos we have Eizeh hu chacham haloim mikol adam. If you want to become wise, you've got to learn. You've got to learn from everybody. Of course, mainly from our rebbes, but we've got to have an open mind. As we see in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, chacham maho oimer, what does a chacham say? Moha edus vachukim. He asks you questions. He's not coming to darshan. He's coming to listen, to hear what other people have to say. I once heard, whether it's a serious idea or not, but I think it is pretty serious, that a person has two ears and one mouth. The person should listen twice as much as he speaks, because you know what you're going to say, but you don't know what you're going to hear. So the more you listen to other people, the wiser you're going to become. So Avada, we need to look to our Gedolim, our Rabbonim, for inspiration. As the Haggadah says, Maaseh Rebbe Elezer, Rebbe Yeshua, we look to our Gedolim. They are our main source of inspiration. But it does say, Mikom Alamdai Skalti, that wherever you can learn Torah from, you become wise. Eizeh Chacham Halomim Mikol Adam. We've got to learn from everyone. Gemara says, Harbe Lamadati Miraboisai. I learned a lot from my Rebbes. V'yoyse Michaverai. I learned more from my Chaverim. Umitamida Yoyse Mikulam. And from when I taught, I became really, really wise. And perhaps that means, and perhaps that means that when you have to explain something to somebody else, you really have to have it clear. Or when you say a Devar Torah to this is for in teaching, when one of the teaching methodologies is that when you raise a question, don't give the answer straight away. When you raise, if you want to give a moshul, give the moshul, and wait for them to see if anybody else knows the nimshul. Because how do you know if people are listening to what you're saying? Good question. How does a teacher know that what he's being makna is the Talmidei being koina? How do you know? What's the simon? So the answer is that you leave a gap, you raise a question, and you will see what people respond, and that way we're all on the same page. So I'll give you an example. One of the most beautiful divrei Torah I heard was from one of my own Talmidim, and he was, at that stage, he was a little bit special needs when I was teaching the Hasmonean, and I've often quoted this Devar Torah, and I was speaking about Yaakov Avinu. He's running away from Esav. He's caught out in the open, and he has to protect himself. He has to lay down to sleep. It became dark. Vayifka b'mokoyim. And so what does he do? He takes from the stones, Vayosem Erash Esav. He puts them around his head as a pillow, and he lay down to go to sleep. And I said to the boys, how on earth could he do this? You know, a few stones round your head won't protect you from a scorpion. Imagine you go to a zoo, and you go to the reptile house, and we went to Blue Planet recently, and you see the enormous spiders, the tarantulas as big as your hand, and how do you feel safe to go right up to it? You know, the answer is you've got a 6-inch thick glass between them and you. What would happen if you walk into the reptile house and there's 12 stones? They're on one side, you're on the other. Well, firstly, you wouldn't go in, or you'd run a mile. You just wouldn't be there. So how can Yaakov Avinu lay down with 12 stones around his head? How will that protect him from a scorpion, from a snake, from... So I was going to give the famous vort of you do your best you can with what you have, Ishtadlus, you know, all the Bali Musa. So a boy put up his hand, he says, please, I think I know the answer. And I thought, oh yeah, this is a real genius over here. It was in my younger days. In those days I was young and foolish, now I'm just a bit older. And I thought, yes, okay, let's hear what you have to say. And he said, could it be, the Yaakov Avinu only had a little bit of protection. So he had to prioritize. So he knew with his guf he'd never done an Avera, he'd never touched what he shouldn't, he'd never eaten, he'd never been where he shouldn't have been. But perhaps in his kavana, when he made a brocha, he didn't have proper kavana, he didn't eat l'shem shemaim, or he didn't have enough kavana when he made a brocha, and therefore the only part of his body which was vulnerable was his head. And therefore he put stones round his head to protect him. I think that's Mekom Olam Dais Kalti. I taught him, but he taught me. Yeah, I raised the question. That's a beautiful Devar Torah. It must be a Rishon somewhere. I've never found it, but it's an amazing Devar Torah.
What was your answer going to be to the boys?
I'm pleased you asked that question. It shows you're listening to my Devar Torah. So we have to have an open mind. We have to know. We have to be open-minded where we learn from. We can even learn from Baalei Chayim. Yehuda ben Tema Oimer, have it Oz Kanemer, be light as a leopard. We have Rebbe Leopard, Kal Kanesha. We have an eagle, Rotz Katzvi, Gibor Kari. We bring all the animals as Rebbeim. Lasso is the son of Yichashabah Shemaim. We become a lambda is Kalti. We become wise, as Shlomo HaMelech says, Leichel Anomol, go to the ant, and you will learn Re'ei Derochel, see its ways, and you'll become wise. So we have to open our minds to learn from wherever we can. And we can also learn from plants. Tzadik katomo yifroch, ke eres balvonon yiske. That I once heard the pshat is, tzadik katomo, that you have to be like a palm tree and you have to be an eres. And I heard from an Adam Godel, how can you be both? The palm tree is sways backwards and forwards, and the eres is tall and straight. And the answer which I heard was that in your bein Adam lamokum, you're an eres. Yeah, a person is firm, he knows, he's stark in himself, you're an erez. But in your approach to other people, tzadik katoma amolah, so you speak this way and this way, you're flexible in your approach to other people. So again, mikom olam dais kalti, everything in this world is there to learn from. But I want to this is from Rabbi Chaim Kaufman, but I've taken something which he said and just expanded on a little bit. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, in Kuf Yutes, from my enemies I became wise in mitzvahs. And then in the next Pasuk, Mikom Olam Daiskalti. So it's very interesting. You can become wise from looking at the enemies. We can study our enemies and we can become wise. And I just want to say a few words on that aspect, which we may not have considered, that even from our enemies we can become wise. We can become closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam when we study the enemies of Klal Yisrael. So let's begin with Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is now meeting Esav after 22 years. And he says to Esav, Im lavon garti v'eichar ad ato. And I was delayed till now. And Rashi says, Garti is the Loshon Tariag, the famous Rashi. Im lavon garti, v'tariag mitzvah shamarti, v'loi lamadati mimasov horoim. And I didn't learn from his evil ways. So, in the spirit of buy one, get one free, I'll give you my own pshat. Because I was always wondering, why is that an opening line to Esav? Esav is coming with 400 men. He's coming with murder in his heart and murder in his eyes. The 400 men were not to welcome him and to be Shalom Aleichem party. They were mamish, they were out to kill. So why would that impress Esav? Im lavon garti v'tariag mitzvah shamati, and I didn't learn from his evil ways and I kept mitzvahs. And Esau was, amazing. I mean, you're talking about Esau. We're talking about, you understand what we're dealing with over here. Why did Yaakov think this was and there was not a lot of time to play with. We're reaching the crucial point here. I think the answer, perhaps, if I may humbly say, in the spirit of Mikom Olam Daiskalti, that Yaakov Avinu was saying, I have been with Lavan for 22 years. V'loi lamadati mimasav aroim. And I didn't become a Rosha. I remained faithful to my Messiah from my mother and from my father, from Yitzhak and Rivka. Where have you been for the last 22 years? You've been with Yitzhak and Rivka. You've had their undivided attention. If I could remain a tzaddik, if I could remain a mensch with Roshoim, how come you've become a Rosha was surrounded by such tzaddikim? And I think that question may have stopped Esav in his tracks and made him think, Taka, what do I look like compared to Yaakov? Where's he been for 22 years? Where have I been for 22 years? Look what he looks like, look what I look like. And Taka, Efsha, that had an impact on him. But let's come back to what Yaakov Avinu said. Im lavon garti v'tarag mitzvah shamarti, says Rashi. V'loi lamadati mimasa v'aroim. I didn't learn from his evil ways. And the question is, why would you expect him to learn from Lavan's evil ways? So I heard from our Rosh Hashiba of Lei Gurvitz, Echetzad Livrocha, that Yaakov was being critical. He was saying, V'loi lamadati mimasa v'aroim. I didn't learn from his evil ways. I should have learned from his evil ways. If I would have learnt from Lavan in his chidush, in being a crook, how he twisted and how he was mechadish new concepts of crookery and mafia and schwindling and any which way to tell a sheker and to be deceitful and to trick me out of this wife and this wages and mamash, he was a gone in rishus in being crooked. If I would have examined his ability to be mechadish in all the wrong things and applied it to avodas Hashem, I would have been even greater than I am. Im lavon garti v'loy lamadati mimasav aroim. Halavai, I would have learnt from him, I would have become even greater. We can become wise when we study the ways of Rishaim. Let's move on. Fast forward. We'll come to the Saha Mashkim. I heard recently from Rabbi Socha Frand, if you study it's very interesting. The Gemara Yerushalmi says, why do we have Arba Koisis on Seder night? And one of the reasons is because in the dream of the Yerushalmi says that in the dream of the Saha Mashkim, he mentions the Kois Para three times. I was in the vineyard, I squeezed the grapes, and I gave the cup to Paroi, and Yosef mentioned the cup of Paroi once. So in the memory of those four cups of wine, we drink Arba Koisis on Seder night. And the kasha is, what's the dream of the butler got to do with Seder? So Rabbi Socha Franz says, why did the butler get his job back? What was in his dream? And as Rabbi Socha Franz says, if you study the words of the Messiah Mashkim, that I was the Kois Paroi, he's so loyal to Paroi, he's so anguished that he can't serve Paroi, and I was in the vineyard and I was squeezing the grapes and I handed the cup back to Paroi, his whole she'ifa, I want to be restored, I want to come back to serve the king, I want to be there back as a loyal servant of Paroi. And Rabbi Socha Franz says Yosef detected in his dream a she'ifa, a desire to want to be restored back to the royal administration to be able to serve the king once again. Halavai, said Rabbi Franz, that we should have that she'ifa in wanting to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. In our Nisuch Hayayin, we also want to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. We also want to come back to our palace and to serve our Melech Malchei Amlochim. And if we can take a little lesson from the Sar Mashkim, who wasn't exactly a friend of Yosef, the way he introduced him, Na'a Eved Ivri, etc., but become Me'oivai Techak Me'mitzasecha, when I see his loyalty and his desire to want to serve his king, Kalvachoymeh, how much more should we be? And that compares to the Saham, the Oifer, the baker. What's his dream? Just by comparison, I was standing. There were three trays of bread on my head, and the birds came. No loyalty, no shiva, nothing. Just passive, and just couldn't care less. A lackadaisical attitude, and lackadaisical means doesn't mean to lack flowers. It means to be very laid back. So therefore he didn't deserve it. And Taka, in his dream, was inherent the fact there was no future for him, and that's what happened to him. So we have to be the butler, we have to me'oivai to chakmei mitzvosecha. I want to have the same she'ifa, and if we have a burning desire to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, like the butler, Be'ezras Hashem, we will be restored. Moving swiftly on, because whenever you say Be'ezras Hashem, Mashiach, whatever, people get very excited. Now we'll move on. We'll move on to Paroi. Paroi, by the plague of Makkos Bechoros. So the pasuk says, "Vayokom Paroi." Paroi got up, and he was very upset, and that was the end of the. So Rashi says, "Vayokom Paroi." Says Rashi, "Mimitosoi." He got up from his bed. So the question is, if it says he got up, presumably when you get up from your bed. So what's Rashi pointing out to us? So the Kotzker Rebbe says he's pointing out not where he got up from, but why he was there in the first place. How on earth you're dealing with the Moshe Rabbeinu, he's told you nine makas, each has happened exactly when he said he would, exactly how it started, exactly how it finished, Yedam Yitzavadeh, Orev Deva Shechim Borod Arbe Choshech, and he says tomorrow there's going to be, and Chatzos HaLaila there's going to be, and you go to bed? And he was at Noch, yeah? He was a Bechor himself. And the Kotzker Rebbe adds, he says an amazing thing. He says, how come Paroi, you know, there's a very, if you're a Paroi, so, and you've got this Moshe Rabbeinu coming in and threatening you and doing terrible things to your country, you know, I don't know what the Hebrew word for assassination is, but, you know, whatever the biblical equivalent is, get rid of him. Paroi, why didn't you bump him off, you know, and Aaron too, just for good, to show there's no ill will, you know, do get rid of these pesky people. Well, they're mamish getting on your nerves. So the Teretz is, said the Kotzker Rebbe, because Paro believed, he put out a theory that he's a god too, yeah, that everybody should bow down to him, you know, and for that reason he went to the Nile every morning, and to do his ablutions, and for the rest of the day, I don't know how he survived, but the... And imagine somebody coming to Paroi. Imagine somebody coming to Paroi and they bow down to him and says, "Oh, mighty King Paroi." And he says, "No, I'm not a king. I'm a god." I mean, you can't bow through the floor. What more covered can you have? And therefore, for him, if he would have killed Moshe, Chas v'Shalom, or he would have been. Pardon the very bad pun coming your way, he would have been in denial, which is where the river comes from. He would have been in denial of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was really true. He had to show. He had to go to bed. He couldn't kill Moshe. He had to keep Moshe. He wanted to disprove him. And the only way to disprove Moshe Rabbeinu with Makas Bechor is to go to bed. I don't care. I'm not interested. I am... Mi Hashem Asher Eshma, who is this that I have to listen? Yeah, and therefore he had to go to bed, and he had to show defiance, and therefore in the face of the greatest danger, he showed total equanimity, and it was just unbelievable. Even Churchill, when on D-Day during the Blitz, he stayed up and he went round. He was there with his people, but not Paroi, because Paroi said, "I have to show defiance." And if we had a fraction of Paroi's emuna in what he believed, and we applied, if we were as solid in our emuna as he was in his getchkes and all the other thing, then we would be even greater than we are. Let's move on to Bilam. Bilam is a very interesting parasha. Bilam is riding on his donkey. He's going to curse Klal Yisrael. And all of a sudden, and the donkey's going this way and that way, and he pushes his foot and he crouches, and Bilam gets a little bit angry and he starts hitting the donkey. Vayivtach Hashem es pi asoin, and Hashem opens the mouth of the donkey, and we have a little dialogue. And the donkey says, "Would you mind not hitting me?" And Bilam said, "Well, I'm a bit annoyed." And the donkey says, "Have I done this before?" And you can imagine the princes of Midian who are with him, what like a tennis match, watching this dialogue, you know, what the donkey, Vayom a Bilam, Vayom a donkey Bilam, and the game seems going to win this debate. So I once heard from Rabbi Isaac Bernstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, an amazing question. How come Bilam never once questioned he's talking to a donkey? Imagine, the donkey talk, and Bilam didn't say, "Just a minute, who am I arguing with over here? You know, I'm arguing with a donkey. How are you able to speak?" Imagine you're driving along, and your sat-nav says, "Can you turn right next turning?" And you don't. And the sat-nav says, "I told you to turn right. This is not the first time I've had to tell you. You always ignore me. You always think, you know, I'll redirect you." And I have to say, while I'm talking to you, yeah, I don't like the mess in the car, you know, and when you, can you go a bit easy on the brakes, you know? I'm really not happy. So... I imagine that you'd get a little bit scared if the sat-nav was able to take on a life, and you'd question. So how come Bilam never questioned his donkey was talking to him? So Rabbi Isaac Bernstein, Zichron Rocha, said that because Bilam was totally focused, he was focused on two things. He wanted to curse Klal Yisrael, and he wanted the money. And no talking donkey is going to get in the way. And therefore he was totally focused right there. Nothing could deter. He didn't even realize. He didn't. There's many teretzim, but this is the teretz which he gave. He didn't even realize because he was so focused. And if we had such focus on our Torah and our mitzvahs as Bilam had on his gaiva, on his covered and his money and his tithes, etc., to main mitzvah would be even greater. And we're living in a generation, I don't have to tell you, as Rav Shimon Hishler, as Zohar Zayin Gazon says, we're living in the Doha Mobile, and we have now, those of us who are a little bit older will remember you had the phone at home, and when you went out into the world, you actually spoke to people, and you were nice to people, but nowadays, you know, we have, all around us, we have the talking donkeys, and bleeping and burping, and all the hours of the day, and we've been in chasanas, and shuls, and simchas, and lo aleinu levayas, and we have the Nokia national anthem playing at all inappropriate times, and you understand, very distracted. We're living in they're now called weapons of mass distraction. They're managed to take you away from, you know, it's a big nisoyan for not only the content, and I'm not talking about that, I'm talking about the actual concept of a mobile phone is very challenging, and we have to learn from Bilam, don't be distracted. The donkey can talk to you and you don't even realize. You were focused on our Torah and our mitzvahs and me'oivai techamei mitzvahsecho. I would like now to also just, by the way, to ignore the what is staring you in the face. We see it from the evolutionists. Evolution is something which is out there, and as my brother Zohar Zayin Gazon said, one in his a very good pun, that evolution is made up of two words: evil, which is bad, and lution, which is a bad way to speak. Evolution is it's a bad expression, that people believe that we came from monkeys. Now, there is a minhag that we go to the zoo on Chol Moed Pesach, but when we go to the zoo, it's to visit the zoo. You've got people out there, when they go to the zoo, it's Mamsha homecoming. You understand? they feel homesick. You know, this is Bubba, Zayda, you know what I mean? This is, you know, and in their homes, they should have pictures of gorillas, orangutans, baboons, etc., because that's their, you know, your ancestry, you understand? And the fact is, there's so much evidence, empirical evidence of the Gadlus HaBoire. It's incredible. I'll just talk for 1 minute with something which I heard from Rav Avigdor Miller. Let's talk about the spider. The spider's leg. The spider can spin a web. How does it know to spin a web? To be a little bit politically incorrect, you know, does it go onto a website? And so it can spin a web. So it must know about the fly. How do you know about a fly? Whoever taught the spider about a fly? So it's got something in its body which can produce a web. Yeah, doesn't have a reel of web inside it. It produces a liquid which solidifies into a web. And then you have, so it makes a web, okay? So how does a fly not bounce on up and down on it like a trampoline? The answer is it's got glue. So it can produce glue too. Yeah. So the spider can produce glue. Okay, a web and glue. Now, how come the spider doesn't get stuck to its own web? Yeah, you're smearing glue all over the place, you get stuck to it. The answer is, on the bottom of its foot, it's got an oil gland. Question, how come the spider doesn't fall off the web? Because if you've got oil on your hands, and the answer is it's got a little hook, and it can between the foot and the oil, the little hook which hooks it onto onto the web. So therefore, you see, there's millions and millions wherever you look. There's so much. The Gadlus HaBoire is screaming you, and these people, they're just totally focused on their own thing. They ignore it totally. They don't look at anything, they're looking at the tithe, they don't want to be involved, they don't want to be responsible to anybody. They're mamish like Bilam. They don't even realize that the world is talking to them. The Gadlus HaBoire shouts at us from within, from without, it's all there. But they're totally focused on their shtus, on their hefka, on they don't want to be responsible to anybody, and therefore we have to learn from them to be totally focused on the Ribbono Shel Olam, me'oivai techamei mitzvahsecho. If we are as loyal, if we are as focused on the Ribbono Shel Olam as they are on their shtusim, we'd be even greater than we are. We have to move on. There's only 5 minutes left. So I just very quickly want to say, because we mentioned Megillas Esther. So this is what triggered this whole idea. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Mibnei Bonov Shel Sancheiv Lim De Torah Barabim. The Bnei Bonov Shel Sancheiv, the wicked Rosha, they became Gedoli Yisrael. Uman Ninhu Shmai Vavtalion. Mibnei Bonov Shel Haman Lim De Torah Bnei Brak. The grandchildren of Haman became Talmidim Lim De Torah Bnei Brak. And the question is, how did that happen? There's a vote from the Chasam Sofer that the Talmidim who came to say to the Rabbonim, he gives man Krishna Moshul Shacharis, these were the Talmidim of Haman. These were the Bnei Bonov Shel Haman who became became outstanding from a Yidden. And the question is, what did they see in Haman? What did they see in Haman that made them become Gedoli Yisrael? We have to say that. And so we'll just say very quickly. So if we turn to the Megillah, we see an interesting thing. We see that Haman comes out of the party. This is the first party. Vayetze Haman bayomahu samech v'toiv leiv. He comes out, he's mamish at the peak of his happiness. V'cheroz Haman es Mordechai b'sham elav lo kom lo zomenu v'imele Haman al Mordechai chemo. He got very upset. V'yisapak Haman, he mamish was able to control himself. We see from here that Haman, by the way, had shalom bayis, because he says vayoves oy havov, he called those who he loved, ve'ezer shishdoi, vayisapel laham Haman, and he tells them, what does he say to them? Es kvod oshroi v'roiv bonov es kol asher gidlo hamelech ves kol asher niso al asorim af loy hevia esteh malko. His whole CV, how he's great and mighty and powerful, everything ki moisi v'gam l'moch ani kuro alav im hamelech. Then he utters these words, and these words are a pachad. V'chol ze einenu shoiveli. And it's not worth anything to me. I've got the whole world, but I don't have Mordechai. And if I don't have Mordechai, I don't have the world. And he lost his life because he acted inappropriately. He was too presumptuous. He went to the king that night, and as a result of which, within a few hours, he was dead. And the Bnei Bonov Shel Haman said that if a person wants desire in this world and use it for the wrong thing, if you use it for covered, oyev kesef lo yisba kesef, says the Gemara, ze Moshe Rabbeinu, the word kesef means desire. The word kesef means desire, nichsof nichsafto, means desire. So oyev kesef lo yisba kesef means whatever a person loves, he'll never have enough of. So therefore, Haman put it into covered, into Olam Hazeh, into things. Lo yispa, I have covered, lo yispa covered is not enough, and he lost his life. But if we use that word kesef, not as money, not as things of this world, but as desire to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, oyev kesef, lo yisba kesef, the Gemara Makkos, Moshe Rabbeinu, we use that desire, v'chol zeh einenu shoveli, means as follows, use the same words, however much Gemara you've learnt, however much halacha, whatever you know, v'chol zeh einenu shoveli, b'chol eis, there's another pasuk, another black Gemara, another Chazara, another Chazal. We're never satisfied. I once heard from Rav Marmerstein in London. He said, Torah Hashem Tamima, Meshivas Nofesh. Torah Hashem Tamima means that the Torah of Hashem is Tomim. What does that mean? However much a person will learn, a lifetime and a lifetime and a lifetime of Torah, Tamima, you've never touched Torah. Torah is, in other words, however much you've learned, you haven't even touched it. Torah is endless. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. And therefore, Oyev Kesev Lis, because I Neinu Shoveli, however much a person's learned, I'm never satisfied. The Bnei Bonov Shel Haman learned the insatiable appetite which cost Haman his life, because it was in Gashmius, they applied it to Ruchnius, and they became Lamdu Torah B'nei Brak, they became Gedoli Yisrael. So my bracha is that Be'ezus Hashem we should enough through the Golos, we've learnt enough from our Oyvim, and Be'ezus Hashem, we should be zoich to the Brocha She'ebonah Beis HaMikdash B'mheiru Meinu V'sein Chalkeinu B'sorah Secha B'mheiru B'meinu Amen.
What do you mean you're going back to saying that? We lose our concentration today on the internet, complete concentration like they had at that time. That's what you really need to point out.